Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 20th day. Is it 20th? No, I guess it's the 19th. The 19th day of January, and a cold one, a real cold one out there. And tonight, my producer is none other than Style.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor?
Style is just you and I tonight. It's kind of like being home alone, huh?
It's boys' night tonight, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, what's happening is I couldn't let our staff come out tonight in this weather. We're in a real Donnybrook for you folks in other states out there here. We have a real blizzard out there tonight. And I did not want to put our people out on the streets, on the roads out there, because it's quite a drive for some of us to the radio station. So what we're going to do, Lord's willing, is have the last night of Pledge Week next week, next Monday. And so with that, we have a whole lot to do. So it's just you and me. If you want to join me in the Bible study, you're more than welcome.
I'll be right here.
Okay. I'm going to pick it up where I left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, Paul is quoting from old Isaiah 29 verse 14. And also, that's probably really close to what Jeremiah said too over in Jeremiah 49. Now, here, it's kind of, a very, very sobering indictment of supposed human wisdom as opposed to true wisdom and, you know, from God and Christ. And so he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The disputer, that word there is the same word we use for debater. Where's the debater here? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What do you think he meant, Style, the world by wisdom? What signs did God give the world out there that he existed?
I mean, there are plenty of them, right?
Well, let me ask you this. Has there ever been a creation without a creator?
Absolutely not.
Okay, now, we are made in the image of something. I mean, there's got to be a reason that we look the way we look, right?
Right.
Okay, so is there an explanation? Did God provide a very in-depth, very clear and precise explanation of why we're here and why we look the way we look?
I believe he did.
Yeah, okay, so here, the world's, if it's literally spelled out for you, and you're not smart enough to read it, it's not a good testimony, is it?
No.
After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But, you know, when you take a look at that, what was it that's always, what was that the Jews always said? What did Zechariah say to Gabriel? Remember, Zechariah? How do I know? I want a sign. Show me. Show me a sign. Now, is that a smart thing to say to the angel that stands in the presence of God?
Probably not.
No, I mean, it's not a good thing to show any intention of any doubt at all, right? And so here, but Zechariah, that's just their nature. They wanted a sign. I want a sign. Show me a sign. But we preach, but the Greeks require, seek after wisdom. Wisdom, one of the things that the Greeks were known for, especially here in the book of Corinthians, we see that they didn't have football games on Sunday afternoon, and or their soccer. They had a tendency to gather at a pavilion in the square of the city. What was it, do you think, those fellas did?
Were they preaching? Were they studying?
Well, what they did is they tried to impress each other with their great wisdom and philosophy. They would get out there and they would speak. And this is where Paul and Barnabas came along, and Paul got out there and Paul spoke. And what did they say? That these are not men; these are gods. You know, right? And so that was their pastime, and there was some kind of foolish things said that they considered to be deep and wise there. And here he goes on to say, but we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. And so why do you think that is? That to the Jews it's a stumbling block, Christ crucified.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's because they had him crucified. It was the Jews that crucified. They rejected him as Messiah. They rejected him as Messiah. And now here the very first converts were mostly all Jews in the very first church. And so do you think that the Jews... Remember how the Apostle Paul got his start? He wasn't a fan of the Lord Jesus at all in the beginning, was he?
No.
No. And so here now, what Paul is saying, look, we're, you know, here you still are not acknowledging the fact that you crucified Messiah. And so they didn't want to acknowledge that fact, the religious Jews, did they?
No.
And so here, he goes on, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh are not mighty, men, not many noble are called. But well, here again, what is it? You mean, I thought God wanted us to be wise and noble. What do you think he means on that?
I'm not sure.
Well, there's people that have a propensity to refer to themselves as very wise and noble, as you can see in the mainstream media and in some, especially in some of our politics, often are not very wise and noble at all, are they?
No.
I mean, if you listen to Chucky Schumer, for example, who considers himself to be a very, very wise and noble man, but his positions are neither wise nor noble at all, okay? And I would say that really would be out there with Mr. Joe Biden. He goes on to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So God does things not the way that man would do, things that we would not expect him to do, would he? When it comes to dealing with nations, God's got a sense of humor often. I remember in Habakkuk, remember those, the Babylonian, how these people were so vicious, I mean, so absolutely vicious, and they were so cunning and crafty, and they would go to King Jones and say, King Jones, listen, join a confederacy with us, and we'll go and we'll rob and pillage King Smith over here, we'll split the loot. And so Jones would say, okay, do you know why Jones said okay? He was afraid not to. He was afraid not to. And so the Babylonians would have their people waiting. As soon as Jones came out with his army to join the Babylonians, well, they would betray and double-cross and go in, and they would rob and pillage his family, his village and his kingdom. And so here... God did something very simple there. He sent Habakkuk out and said, go out and post all over the country, that here in this valley, this huge valley, here in this valley, on this time, at this date, I'm going to destroy the Babylonians and their army and their kings. And so he went out and posted it. And so what do you think all of these nations that have been betrayed and by the Babylonians, that when they understood this, they said, we want to see this because we know this God of Israel. We know this God of Israel. He's not in the habit of losing any wars. And he's in the habit of doing exactly what he says, when he says, where he says, how he says. And so we're going to go and see what happens here because, well, these kings there of Babylon, they laughed and they mocked. So they all showed up with their armies to challenge the God of Israel, okay? And guess what happened? Up all around the valley, up along the mountains, all of these other kings and all of their nations and all of their armies came to see and watch the battle. And what do you think happened there?
What was that?
Well, they realized, look, we're here and more and mightier and more numbers than the Babylonians. Those are the guys down there that have caused us so much damage and robbed and pillaged and killed. And now we're here and we've got them surrounded. And so what do you think God did? He said, get them, right? So God didn't have to lift a finger, did he?
Not at all.
Okay. And at another time he sent some hornets. You had these kings that decided that they were going to mock God. And now these were bad boys, right? And they had this vicious army. Well, and the Lord says, hey, what do you know about hornets? You're gonna know more about hornets than you'll ever want to know. And he sent hornets after them, and the hornets did a number on them. And those boys weren't so big and bad then, okay? So God does things when he's referring to... Here, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen... Who did he... When Goliath challenged the armies of Israel, did he send the biggest, the baddest, and the strongest guy out?
Absolutely not.
Okay, when the greatest evil that ever existed, it still exists today, Satan, when he came in this world to kill and destroy, who did God bring into the world? Did God bring into the world a legion of angels, or was the Messiah born as a baby?
We had a Messiah born as a baby, of course.
So the baby came in, and, well, we know with Satan it's all over but the shouting, huh? And so, these things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, ye, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made into wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom or declaring unto you testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. Okay, so that word princess there is the word we use today for legislators, or they might use it as rulers. All the humanistic philosophy of this world's, I mean, when today, when you have these so-called intellectuals out there, it's an amazing thing how today, you know, when I was young, you used to be able to, you could be as dumb as you want on the cheap. It didn't cost you much. Today, you got to go to Harvard or Yale or someplace to really get as dumbed down as possible. So you could be out there marching in the streets, calling for the total destruction of the nation of Israel. And and they didn't get that dumb on the cheap. I mean, they spent lots and lots of money going there to be that dumb. Now, all the humanistic philosophy of the world's intellectuals eventually come to naught. That's what he said, to nothing. So, if that is the case, do you think it's kind of foolish to waste valuable time studying philosophy except for the purpose of maybe refuting people like Klaus Schwab?
I think that's been all but proven.
Or people like Bill Gates, right? I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, how these people could be, could consider themselves to be so brilliant, and yet say such stupid things. Well, we go ahead. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto his glory. In other words, he's making a point there. Before there was anything else out there, all the wisdom that ever existed, that would ever exist, was contained in God already. And he's making a point. Doth not wisdom cry? You know, we hear things like when David said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. That was what we heard from old King David. But now here when he says, which none of the princesses of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So let me ask you this. Do you think that if Pontius Pilate actually knew for absolute, like we do today, who the Lord Jesus Christ was, that he was actually standing in the presence of the creator of the universe? Here's Pilate. And Pilate's telling the Lord, don't you know I have power over you? if he absolutely knew who he was standing in front of, do you think he would have chosen, you know, to obey Christ or Caesar?
You sure would hope that he chose to obey Christ.
Yeah, he'd have to be pretty stupid not to, huh? And so, you know, in that situation, Pilate's wife had much better discernment than Pilate did, huh? But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. As it is here, the reference again here, that what he just said comes from Isaiah 64, verse 4. Paul here interpreted the glories of the new heavens and the new earth. This is what he's referring to when he says, what do we know? Has God revealed to us some of the glories of the new heaven and the new earth? Say in Revelation 21 and 22. What do we know about the new Jerusalem? Well, it gives us the size of it and it tells us a lot about how it's constructed, huh? What about within it? What about the rivers of living water? What about the 12 manners of fruit? So he's revealed some things to us, hasn't he? But he goes on to say, and what God hath prepared for them that love him. I would say spending eternity in the New Jerusalem would be a pretty desirable thing, would you not?
I would say so.
Yeah. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And here, again, some of the heavenly glories, I would say, again, things that he has revealed, and some of these things that are things that we can understand that are very, very hard for us to explain to the unsaved people. Here, when he says that, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And so, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here, first of all, he must first understand that before he can understand any of that, understand Christ's atoning sacrifice. But even that is foolishness to him. When you tell to the unsaved and you try to explain to them that Christ died upon the cross, it took your sins upon them, what are some of the first things that these men are going to say? Well, if God can do anything, right, God, he didn't have to do that. All he had to do is just say the word and make all of us repent, make all of us call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to put, his son didn't have to hang upon the cross. So what does that tell you about the natural man? Well, it tells you that, first of all, God's ways are much higher than man. The natural man has no idea, or no ability to understand at all that God is a holy God. God is what holiness is. And a holy God, how does a holy God have to deal with sin? A holy God has to punish sin, right?
Right.
This is why when Christ was hanging upon that cross, for an instant the Father had to turn his head away because of the pain. And Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? That instant there, when if the Father kept looking upon that sin, the sins of the past, the present, the future that were upon him, the punishment would have been even greater than it was, that it was bad enough as it was. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And with that, we'll be back right after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh, God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son.
No, you didn't have to die. You know, if the pastors in this country had done their job the way they were supposed to, the way that they were called of the Lord to do it, we never would have had Roe v. Wade. In fact, those so-called justices on that court would have been tried for treason against God and country, but the pastors let God down. They really did. It's a terrible thing, but that happened. And so, anyhow, I got to tell you this, folks. You got to get a pen and paper. This is very, 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 very important. As you know here that Governor Mike DeWine vetoed the SAFE Act. He vetoed the SAFE Act. Now, the SAFE Act was the Saving Adolescents from Experimentation Act. The SAFE Act has to deal with these people that mutilate these children, making tons of money. I mean, these are demonic people. I mean, very, very demonic, making money, mutilating children, okay, where they can never be changed again. It's horrible, horrible things that they're doing, like abortion, like that horrible America's national sin. And folks, I'm going to tell you, God's long-suffering, but the time will come when America is going to pay for her sin. That'll happen. God is a just God, and he's not slack when it concerning judgment, and it's going to come this way. And that's why for half a century I've been out here along with a bunch of other preachers telling you America needs to repent. Our sewers have run red with the blood of innocent people, and today there was a big march in Washington, D.C., and for those marches, I went on, I think, 42 of those marches in Washington, D.C., and folks, I quit when we knew that Roe v. Wade was going to go down, but actually, we quit a little bit before that for a number of reasons, but we took busloads of people down there because the cause is a righteous cause. So here's what you need to do. This bill, the House has already overridden Governor DeWine's veto. Now, this bill is going to come before the Senate on January 24th, and I think that's next Wednesday, I believe, okay? And you need to call your Ohio senator. You need to call your Ohio senator and tell them very clear to vote to override governor's veto. And now that SAFE Act, not only does it help the children from being mutilated, but it also keeps biological men from competing in women's sports, folks. And, again, think about that. Now they want biological men to be involved with women's boxing. Well, I mean, women shouldn't be boxing to begin with, but folks, they especially should not be boxing with men. Or the same thing with wrestling, okay? You see, something that us Baptists, we Baptists have known for a long, long time, that men and women are different. In fact, we have always known what a woman was. Now, Democrats don't know this, okay? Democrats think that to know what a woman is takes a lot of deep thought, but we've known from the beginning what a woman was, okay? And we know that women and men are different, and we know that women and men cannot compete in the same physical sports like this. And we know that what happens if they do in wrestling or boxing, that women can be hurt, okay? And that is not a smart thing, you see. Now, Democrats don't know that, but of course, that's why they're Democrats, I guess. But anyhow, here's what you got to do. You got to call your state senator. And if you don't know who that is, you can call 1-800-282-0253. 1-800-282-0253. And ask, tell them where you live. Tell them where you live, and they can tell you who your state senator is. Or if you know who your state senator is, you just call 614-466-8842. That's 614-466-8842. No, 614-466-8842, and ask for your senator's office, and they'll put you right through. All right. And I'm going to put Coach Dwayne right through. Hey, Coach.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor Sanders. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, young fella.
Hey, I hear you were under the weather a little bit there for a while, my friend.
I was under the weather big time for a while. Yeah, I had double pneumonia, and I didn't care for it a bit.
Yeah, when I found out, naturally, you're on my prayers every single night along with other pastors, Pastor Larson, Joe, and Hal, and Randy Gay, and John McTernan, and Janet Porter, and Elaine Conley, and little Lisa, and all you guys there. So every night you're on my list, just to let you know that I'm praying. I was sick from December the 11th to the 26th. I got nailed with a virus that just ripped me upside down. And I hung on to God and says, hey, you can take my life and you give my life. I'm in your hands. And you know what? Just like the Bible said, he made my bed in sickness.
Amen. Well, you know, that's one of the things that we are very big on, praying for each other. And that's what we did yesterday morning. We met for hours doing exactly that because God's Word in the Bible says to pray without ceasing, huh? It means all through the day. Prayer is important. I want to thank you and all those others out there, Coach. And I know that's what pulled me through was the prayers of the good people out there. I want to thank them all so much for doing that. But
we know somebody reaches heaven for us. Somebody out there, God hears a special heart, and then he says, I will honor that prayer. So somebody out there did a good job. But I also wanted to say, I called in while you were sick for my brother-in-law, Russ Coyle, and he had a special procedure done called the TVAR in his heart. And I want to let everybody know, thank you for praying for Russ Coyle last week because the surgery went successful. He was sent back home, and he's on his road to recovery, doing well. So thank to all of you out there in What's Right, What's Left Radio Land.
Well, did you say we have Big John with us?
Yes, we do.
Hey, Big John McTernan is joining us. Hey, Big John.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. I tried to get here. I'm a little late, but I had a great, great conference today, Pastor Ernie. It went absolutely fantastic.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, it was about prophecy and about the Middle East and where it's all heading, and prophecy about Jerusalem and what the second coming of Jesus Christ, because he is coming to Jerusalem, Pastor Ernie.
Yep.
So a lot of information. The people were real. In fact, I saw the time, what it was. I said, I got to go. I got Pastor Ernie's radio show, and I went running out, and here I am.
Well, praise the good Lord. We have a whole lot to talk about tonight. And
Pastor, I'd like to get one big important question into you while you got John, because I don't want to take up a lot of time. But there's a lot of stuff going on within one of my family members, some of my other neighbor families. We have this issue where we see where the devil has infiltrated a long time ago in the Democratic Party, where they're doing transgenders. They're trying to change a male to a female, yada, yada, yada. And there's the family members, the parents are caught in the whirlwind of, well, let's have a birthday party. And for Billy, let's use this hypothetical, Billy is now Jane. And you should show up and show your respect and bring a gift, or you have a wedding. And the tranny is getting married. And now they tell you, some pastors are even saying that, well, you should attend the wedding or the birthday party, and you should bring a gift and show your support. And what does the Bible and Pastor Sanders have to say about that?
Well, I think, I are you talking about the Christian manifesto that one of the, I think one of the area preachers really needs to rethink what he stated there. Well, here, if they say, yes, you need to show up at what they call a same-sex wedding or a transgender wedding, I can answer that with one verse, and that verse is James 4:4. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So let me ask both of you, by being a friend of the transgenders, by being a friend of LGBTQ, is that being a friend of the world?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And so, if you're a friend of the world, are you not the enemy of God?
Absolutely.
Pastor Ernie, it's the compromise. I mean, you can't halt between two positions. Are you with the Lord or not?
And so, let me ask you this then. Okay. If this is a situation, if you have a situation where, okay, you have, say, a family member or a friend, and these transgenders, they're going to have two transgenders. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean a man that thinks he's a woman and a woman that thinks that she's a man, and they're going to get married? First of all, that's not a marriage. God gave us the divine institution of marriage, and what that does, it perverts that divine institution of marriage, okay? And so, but if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we read, in fact, John, or Coach, whoever, do you guys have your Bibles there? If you go there.
In the living room. John's okay. Got his probably.
Yeah. Well, if we go to verse 14, and we take these verses one verse at a time, are you there, John? Okay.
I'm here, Pastor Ernie. Where do you want me to go?
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Okay. Okay, I'm there now. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So if you attend, let's just say I attended one of these meetings. Okay, let's just say that I went to one of these weddings there where they have two LGBTQs or two trans things, and I go there and I bring a gift. What kind of a message am I sending to the people in the church that I pastor?
You're condoning it. You're accepting it and saying, that's good. That's something nice. It's wonderful.
So if they believe in what I'm teaching them and they follow that, would that cause them to stumble?
Absolutely.
He says this.
God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we turn around and we embrace what God destroyed, fornication, sex perversion, drag queens and whatnot, and same-sex unions, when you have so-called pastors blessing that stuff, you're telling God, I don't agree with what you did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Leave us alone. Just like the Old Testament, they didn't want to hear the prophets. They wanted to live their own life, and they didn't want to listen to it. Isn't that where we're at today, Big John?
Absolutely. Yeah, they show no fear of God, no respect for his word. Listen to Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plague.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And let me go back to 2 Corinthians 6. For be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And the agreement that hath the temple of God with idols. And for you are in the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. And let me ask you this, okay? My advice would be, to Alistair on that, would be to rethink that. You know, if you go to over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and you read verses 1 and 2, well, in fact, let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Whoever gets there first, because I'm having a couple of some strange things happening here. Okay, Ecclesiastes 10. I'll get there now. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Okay, so he's saying this, that you can live your life and you can be a man of God, I mean, and work and live as perfect as you can, and all it takes is just one big mistake. Okay, again, a little folly with him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And you can lose that wisdom and honor, or lose that honor, by just one bad decision. So what I would do in a situation like that is I would rethink that, and then I would come back and I would say, look, here's what I should have said. Let me walk that back, and this is what I should have said. Now, we saw someone who did did that, but not for the right reasons, and that was Joel Osteen. When Joel Osteen was on the program, I forget the fellow's name, but he had a national program.
Larry King?
Larry King. And you probably remember what I said. When Larry King asked Joel Osteen, he said, are you telling me that only Christians, that only through Jesus you can get to heaven, that we Jews and the Muslims, we can't get to heaven if we don't believe in Jesus? And so Joel Osteen said, well, I guess if your God is a good God, you have a good chance. Well, that, even for Joel Osteen, that went over bad. That hit them, even that huge, huge entertainment center lost money. So he asked Larry King, give me a chance, let me come back and let me restate that. So he came back on Larry King, and he told Larry, look, I'm losing money here on this, I got to get back to you. And he said, Larry, I'm a young preacher, and sometimes I make mistakes, and I just wanted to say that I was wrong. The only way of salvation is through Jesus. So he walked it back. He did the right thing, but for the wrong reason, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about
that's
all that,
amazing,
Big Jim?
Pastor Ernie. That's a sign he's just a hireling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's been...
Listening to you guys for years, it's been the righteous as bold as lions. In the pulpit, when you stand in front of your congregation, they need to hear what sin is. Sin, God made two genders, male and female. God does not change his mind and made a mistake. Oh, and I put the wrong DNA in this body, and it needed to be in that body. No, God didn't make that mistake. God made them male and female. He said, I knew you before I created you in your womb. A righteous pastor, a true pastor, would say, listen, people, there's a righteous judgment we're going to face. God calls drinking, getting drunk a sin, cussing a sin, fornication a sin, adultery a sin, lying, stealing, and cheating. The congregation needs to hear that without the pastor wavering. The pastor should have turned around and said, we cannot participate in this because we are condoning and calling evil good. We can't do that.
So,
Pastor Ernie, years ago, I knew a brother that was in a rather large church, and the pastor and the wife were having some big marital problems, and they ended up getting divorced. And when it was found out that they divorced, there was like 8 divorces immediately followed in the congregation.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was shocking. He was shocked. And the pastor ended up like kind of stepping down after it, because that divorce, I mean, just went through that church like wildfire.
Yeah, and that's what's happening nowadays. I mean, we're living in those days, and, you know, we've told you years ago, when 9/11 happened, the very next Sunday after 9/11, I was in the pulpit telling people what we just saw was Revelation chapter 18 on a small scale, that we're going to see it on a national and a world scale, okay? And here, because, you know, in New York City, you had the world, you had the three Babylons, all stations right there in New York City. And New York City is known around the world as Babylon, okay? But we're going to see what happened in New York. We're going to see that now. Today, more and more countries out there, and people are referring to America as Babylon. We're the new Babylon out there today. And so, and that's true. We have become everything. And right now you're seeing Joe Obama Biden turning more anti-Christian, more against yep. Christianity on a larger scale. And so, and you're going to see him quickly betray Israel. Within the White House, John, all of the aides in the White House are protesting the support for Israel. They're pressuring Joe Obama Biden, okay, to throw Israel under the bus. And so what wow. happens, we know that there's only one time in all of history it takes place when all the nations of the world turn against Israel, and we know that's the last days, huh?
Absolutely, fascinating. And it's specifically, the Bible specifically talks about Jerusalem.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And so this is exactly what's happening out there now. And so if we go to Daniel chapter 4, we read, or 12, and we read verses 3 and 4, when he tells Daniel, the seal of the book until the end, Daniel, now we're seeing the book being unsealed. This is the time when the book is being unsealed. We're watching the book being unsealed, and we're seeing all of these things now on the stage getting ready, to unfold right before us. But what percentage of the people in this, even in this country, do you think are even acutely aware of even a little bit aware of what is happening?
I would say 15-20%, if that.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, something small, Pastor Ernie, there. They're just not tuned in to serious issues to God, and they're not tuned into it. So I don't know what it is, but it's low, 15%, yeah, 20% at the most.
I would really think that 5% would be a conservative
Well, you know, Pastor, in the past couple of years, there's been a lot more conversation in my end of the woods where people are asking, saying, well, are we in the last days? Is this the great falling away? Is the Lord's return the Antichrist? We see all these things going on, riots in cities and drug infestations all over the world and homosexuality being spread across by the global leaders. Are these not the last days? So that has stirred a lot of talk about the end times.
It has, but there's one thing more than any other that has eclipsed all of that, and that's the rise of Satanism. The rise of Satanism. You have the governor of New Mexico adopting Satanism now. You have Satanism.
Pastor Ernie,
yes.
Wasn't it New Mexico where the governor, or the governor's office, the governor was directing people to women to an abortion center called Satan's Abortion Center.
Yeah.
I forget the exact title of it. It was something about Satan's Abortion Center. That was coming from the governor of New Mexico.
Right, but not only that, but in California and in these other states too, they're cracking down on Christianity and they're promoting more and more Satanism. And so here you're seeing, even with these protesters out there, the ones that are marching to destroy Israel, remember around Christmas time, they were throwing blood on nativity scenes.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So but we're coming up to a break, and when we come back from a break, we got something very interesting, so we'll be back after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come. Be right back.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Light the light. Feel the land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065.
If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.